This is Digital Story Podcast number 730, March 17th, 2020. Today's theme is Workshop Attendees Speak Out in LA. I'm Derek Story. We exited the Uber XL and stepped out into a sparsely populated Hollywood Boulevard. I directed us across the street to the metro station, where we descended into its depths via escalator. What we found down there was a scene from a sci-fi movie. In this week's TDS podcast, we talk about this moment and many others that we experienced together during the LA Street Photography Workshop. Hear directly from the four participants who documented this moment in time. Our team had been cut in half. We were down to four photographers and myself. Those who gathered with me at the Rest Haven Cottage in Santa Monica included Susie Powell, Cokie Lipinski, Dave Wilson, and Craig Rowley. They are the voices that you're about to hear from. We recorded this conversation on a Sunday afternoon at the kitchen table in the cottage where we had held our classes and lab sessions. We had been in LA since Thursday and had witnessed a rapidly changing environment in Southern California. Over the course of the next few days, we talked with Uber drivers, service providers, and people on the street. Not only did we focus on their stories, but our own safety as well. We constantly cleaned our hands, avoided public transportation, wiped down shared surfaces daily, and did not allow physical contact. In addition to that, a rainstorm had parked over the LA area. Fortunately, we were prepared for the showers and all had weather-resistant cameras. Three participants shot with Olympus and two with Fujis. So after nearly 3 days of this work, I thought it'd be a good idea to sit down and discuss what we saw and how we felt about it. So I'm going to turn the mic over to Susie, Cokie, Dave, and Craig. I think you'll be fascinated to hear what they have to say. I have four people sitting here with me that are part of the LA Street Photography Workshop, and I thought you might be interested in hearing their thoughts about this experience, starting with, why would you even come to this thing in the first place? You know, what was the motivation and carry through, right? Because part of it is when you signed up for this thing back months ago, you did not anticipate the situation that we'd be in right now. So I think I'm going to start with Cokie.
Well, I had done a street photography workshop with you and Mike Benning in the past in San Francisco, and it was exhilarating. I am not a street photographer. I would describe myself as more a bend toward nature. And I really wanted to challenge myself in new ways. Never really spent much time in LA, certainly not from a photographer's aspect. So I was very intrigued by the itinerary that you had laid out.
Yeah, and we have some cool things, right? Venice Beach, Santa Monica Pier, the Walk of Fame, which you guys are all thrilled with, right? We'll talk more about that in a minute. But I mean, yeah, on paper, it's an interesting workshop, right?
Very.
Okay, how about Susie? What do you?
Yes, I too experienced my first street workshop with you and Mike mm-hmm. Benning in San Francisco. When I saw this come up and the two of you were doing it again, it intrigued me and I wanted to experience that again. And I'm not familiar with LA, so it's all new turf, even though I live in the other California, the one
right.
up north. And then when the decision came to come here, given this situation in our world, I hesitated, and Mike had to drop out, so that was another question. Oh my, well, should I go? It was, I had to put some thought into it, and I drove down here, and I thought, well, the risk doesn't seem any higher to drive down here and hang out with some friends than it does to stay home and perhaps hang out with some friends, and I trusted that Derek would keep us safe.
Dave.
First, I had taken workshops with Derek before and really enjoyed them. And the other thing I really enjoy is when I come to Southern California, which is rare, I love Venice Beach. So I thought a combination of Derek and Venice Beach couldn't be beat. Now, the terrifying part was that we were supposed to do street interviews with people we didn't know. Turned out to work well. I actually kind of had fun at it, but it wasn't something that I thought I would have fun at. The other thing that was interesting from my perspective is some of the participants had brand new Olympus cameras, which I wanted to see, so I got to see them, and so that was good too.
You know, it's funny because, you know, one of the, we had like new guidelines because of the, you know, COVID-19 situation. And one of them is that we just don't randomly hand our cameras and our lenses and stuff to each other anymore, which is such an odd thing because that's a big part of a workshop is getting to, oh, wow, you got the new, you know, Mark III. Can I see it? And now it's like, okay, yeah, let me sanitize. Okay, now I can look at it. It has added a different kind of tone to the whole thing, hasn't it?
Yes, I don't know that I actually touched anyone else's camera, but I had people shouting at me to clean my hands the whole time I was here. And then this afternoon, amazingly, one of the people we were photographing reached out and grabbed my hand and shook it very vigorously, and I had to kind of switch to elbow tapping.
You did. And then we made sure the hazmat team came out and cleaned you up afterwards, right? It's sad, but it's just what we have to do. Craig, how about you? What attracted you to this event?
Well, I've done a lot of travel photography, and I think street photography is part of travel photography, but I have never actually taken a street photography workshop. And this is actually my first time I've been with Derek. I used to listen to him when he was on the old TWIP podcast. He was on quite a bit, actually. And so I was familiar with him. And I had also never been to Los Angeles in this area, in Venice Beach and Santa Monica. And so I thought that would be interesting, too. I did have no idea, since I'm a Fuji shooter, that everybody would be not only Olympus shooters, but also Apple people, and so that was a little, maybe even more scarier than the virus.
It's just another kind of virus.
He was actually calling us cult people, but that's okay. And I was shooting a Fuji. Yeah, so I was shooting with the new X100V, so you did have a Fuji, Conrad. Even though yes, I do have a Mac. Yeah, so I mean, yeah, gear is part of it, and you know, obviously, we talked a lot about gear, but there's also some surprises in terms of the shoots, right? Because you know, you look at this thing on paper, and then you know, we get out in the field, and one of the things I'll say is that because of the situation down here in Southern California right now, we had to sort of redesign this workshop on the fly. So we did things that I hadn't scouted or hadn't even planned on doing because, you know, we couldn't take a crowded subway to the location I wanted to go. So I think what I'd like to hear next is, what was your favorite shoot or moment when we were out in the field, and what was the one that was your least favorite? You know, let's go both ways on that. Dave, we'll go ahead and start with you.
Well, in one sense, my favorite time was when we interviewed a gentleman who was quite stylish outside of Starbucks, and had a long talk with him. And since I'm bad at names, his name was
Marcus Chapman.
Marcus Chapman was cool. We got some really cool pictures with Marcus, had a good conversation with him, and that was a lot of fun. By the way, I just want to mention about cameras. Not only did I use my Olympus camera, but I also used my iPhone. With the ultra wide lens on the iPhone is sometimes a very handy thing to have. And that also allowed for location stamping where photos were taken.
Exactly. So Marcus, it was Marcus, right?
Right.
Yeah. What was the shoot that you did not like?
Well, we went to the fashion district, it was called. Not very fashionable. I don't think I got any good photos there at all. And wandered around, and it was interesting, but not very productive.
Right, so what they call the fashion district now here in Los Angeles used to be the garment district, and is actually where there's a lot of, you know, a lot of production of clothes, right? And you know, big rooms with a lot of people working in that whole thing. On Saturdays they open their doors and sell to the public, and they actually set it up like a swap meet, and so then people come from all over to get deals on clothing. And it is very much like being at a street fair in another country, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, it has that same kind of vibe. It wasn't on our original shot list, but you know, because of things changed, we ended up there. And it was interesting. I mean, I'd like to hear what each of you think about it, too.
I had an experience there that was a little different. I, first of all, was not dressed properly. I had on a bright orangey red rain jacket, which, and blonde hair, and I'm small. So that made me stick out like a sore thumb, and I was stared at, and I've got this big honking camera hanging off of me, even though it's the small Olympus. So I felt like a target. There were more people there than we had encountered at the other locations, and I got quickly kind of heebie-jeebie. They were ducking behind things if they saw the camera. People did not want their photo taken, and most of them were not English-speaking people. So I quickly removed my outer garment, stuffed it in my purse, and hung out on this on a corner near a fire hydrant until my friends rescued me.
Did you survive?
I survived. I just realized I was way out of my comfort zone, and I wasn't comfortable taking pictures.
Yeah, you know, we had come off a fairly mellow day at Venice Beach, and you know, because there are fewer people out right now, because it was raining down here off and on that day, we basically had the place to ourselves. I mean, you know, we had enough people to photograph, but it was calm. If someone's out there, we could initiate a conversation most of the time. It went fairly smoothly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the next day, you know, we go into Los Angeles itself. We start out on the Walk of Fame, Hollywood Boulevard, which is very glamorous, right? Isn't it?
So much so.
Well,
oh, wow.
From my perspective, I got to photograph Chuck Berry's star, which is really cool.
Right. But the location itself is not what you had in your mind, right?
It's not what Hollywood tells us. It's not what you see on TV when they're putting a new star down and it's all glitzy and glamoury. It was... Well, the rain, the weather made it kind of dismal. The amount of homeless people, because other people weren't there, so it was really, they dominated the scene.
Yeah, it was a different world for sure. And it was funny, that's also where you probably had one of your best shoots, Dave, right?
It was.
Yeah, so it's interesting, and I think this is a component of street photography where it can just not be going well in terms of you're not getting what you want, you're not really having a great time and all that, and then something will happen out of nowhere and hopefully you're ready for it and can capture it. Craig, what was your thinking on Walk of Fame and that whole day?
Well, I think like everybody else, I was surprised that the neighborhood was not what we would call glamorous. Mm-hmm. It was kind of seedy. And it was amazing how few people, we were down in the metro station and there was nobody, absolutely nobody there on a Saturday morning. And not too many more people on the street either. And not the, not even the people all dressed up as celebrities. So.
Yeah, we were in the Hollywood and Vine metro station, which is I think one of the coolest train stations I've ever been in. I had scouted it, I had been in it before scouting, and it's a hustle bustle train station. And we walk into this thing, and I'm not exaggerating, saw no one. We have pictures
of no one
in there. And we're just walking around. We met two security guards that were there. And then at one point there were a few people, and a train stopped and let out, and on the first train that came out, there must have been six people that came off the train. It was the most haunting thing I had seen in a while. It was really, really unusual. Go ahead, Dave. Yeah.
Just related to that, the traffic on the freeways was incredibly light for Los Angeles.
Yes. Yeah, and you know, we talked to Uber drivers the whole time, right? And so, which was very interesting. Really kind of gave us a pulse for the situation. They were saying there's a good side and a bad side to this, but one of the good sides was it was very easy to get around, and we never got stuck in traffic.
No.
And we are driving in one of the most trafficy areas of California, for sure. I want to go back to the Hollywood and Vine, and you know, then when we went down to the Fashion District, Cokie, and you know, because you're the one that actually decided, you know, we need to cut the shoot right now.
Yes. it's hard to describe what took place. Like Susie, I kind of had a case of the heebie-jeebies. It was a little off-putting, only from the aspect that I was in the Santee district. I was trying to shoot objects more than people. And I kept getting the finger wags and no pictures here. And it was a really tight, close environment. we could not be quite as surreptitious with our Olympus screens that flip out as Derek and Craig could be with their Fujis, and we had some envy there, I must say. But so, you know, you get turned down five or six times, and we don't have the background that Derek does for the confidence building that takes place where you just take the shot and walk away. So, you know, we kind of started to put our cameras away and just walk around, and then it felt a little bit futile. That was just off-putting because in Venice Beach, we could approach anyone, and no one really seemed to have too many qualms about us. We always asked permission and sought their, you know, acceptance of that before we took a photo. And then the crowning blow was witnessing a cat fight, so to speak. Two gals who were really going at it, and six guys were trying to separate them. And time went by, and then the six guys got involved in the fight, and the cops were called, and great entertainment was had by all. So that was time to maybe pull the plug and move on. But all that being said, I have to say, that day was definitely the most interesting between the Hollywood Walk and the Santee District. You had to work to find your photograph. So I found myself looking either very big for my perspective or very tight for my perspective. And it really made for an interesting day, a contrasting day of photos. And I got some keepers out of the day. So all in all, it was a win.
Yeah, I think. Oh, go ahead, Craig. Yeah,
well, I was just going to say it in the fashion district. I had a long conversation with one of the shopkeepers, and he basically told me he was nervous because, or people there are nervous because of all the probably undocumented immigrants and ICE and other law enforcement sweeps through and takes pictures of people, and so that's why they were nervous. But it also struck me that was a real street scene in the sense of needing street savvy to navigate it correctly. And comparing that to Venice Beach and Santa Monica, where everybody seemed like they were auditioning, you know, for a movie role, they actually wanted you to take their pictures, right. and so it was just a totally different environment.
So the way that we do the workshop is that, generally speaking, we have a class in the morning. We talk about the last shoot and what's coming ahead. And then we go work out in the field for a number of hours. And then we come back and we have class afterwards. So this morning, you know, we actually had the class talk about yesterday's shoot, which was the downtown L.A. shoot. And one of the things that I said was that it's very interesting. If you like urban photography and if you want to shoot in an urban photography environment, it's good to work with someone where you can start to see all the way from the easy stuff, where you just approach someone, you have a conversation first like we did. If the conversation goes well, you ask for a picture, they give you a picture, you have permission, and you really get to learn about the person you're photographing. That's at one end. To the other end, where you're in an environment where maybe people don't want you there, and yet it's a public street, it's a public situation, and there are stories to be told there as well, but there are stories that they're not willingly going to give to you. You have to be respectful always, but at the same time, it's a story that you want and that they don't want to give you, and you know that's part of street photography too. You have to decide where you want to be somewhere on that. And maybe it's something that you work up to a little bit. I mean, talking about that scale, where do you think you're going to end up on it? Is this your second one?
So it is my second one. And the first one, it was more about understanding street photography. But for me on this one, huge growth, I think, in approaching people. From day one to day three here, I had no qualms this morning going out to where we were at Santa Monica Beach and talking to anyone and everyone and engaging in conversation. First of all, being friendly and talking to them just about what they were doing there, whether it was some type of a exercise fitness or whatever. And I felt so much stronger about that today, partly actually from that experience at the Santee. Not wanting to be denied again and knowing that, you know, it worked out for us on the first day. And you do have to take that bold leap sometimes, and you have a right to be doing what you are doing, and you want to be respectful of people's wishes and be careful about taking photographs of children or people who don't know you're taking them, you know, you want to be really careful about that. But I'm really pleased with just the growth in 3 days. And I feel like I could go out on my own. I live in Arizona and go down to Phoenix and start wandering the streets and talking to complete strangers and giving this a giving this a go. Why not? They can only say no.
Don't get arrested.
It's really interesting, though, with that when you start with conversation instead of the picture, which is one of the things that isn't part of all street photography workshops. A lot of what I call serious street photographers say, hey, you know, you have the right to take the picture, you take the picture, and then, you know, just move on or whatever. Just like I don't think we use one lens all the time, I don't think that's always the right approach. And I do enjoy learning about people. It's not just, you know, to get the shot, it's also to learn, you know, who I've just photographed. That part is fascinating. So when I look at some of these shots and I have a conversation, I can actually, when I show people that picture, I can tell them the story of that person. And it isn't just some face that I just, you know, stole off the street and know nothing about them. So, I mean, it's an interesting thing. It's hard to decide where you're going to be.
Just an equipment issue. Apparently, our Olympus cameras are capable of recording audio after you take a picture. And I was told to do that. Most of the time, I forgot. And when I did it, I don't know how to get the audio back. So there's more learning to still go on.
He's talking about one thing that I recommend is using the voice memo function on your camera, because right there, you're looking at the image on your screen after you've taken it. You can press a button. It depends on which button your camera. And you can record 30 seconds of audio while things are fresh in your mind. And then we're also using it to have the subject talking to it, too. And it's kind of a cool thing. It's kind of a cool thing. And you'll figure the rest out. The rest is just details, right?
That's right. The rest is details.
All right. Craig, I'm interested. Moving forward, this was your first street photography workshop. So where do you fall on that spectrum? I mean, what shots, what style of shooting were you most comfortable with?
Well, I think I'm most comfortable trying to get the street scenes more from a candid perspective. I did make some portraits approaching people where they approached me, but I think I like just to get the scene as it is. And speaking of equipment on that regard too, I can see in our experience in the Fashion District how important it would have been to have a very small camera. Not to make a plug for my Fuji brethren, but the 100V was an ideal camera for that environment. I would have hated to be there, you know, with a big DSLR. Nobody here had one, but if you can imagine a big DSLR with a big lens, it just wouldn't have worked in that environment, whereas it would have worked on Venice Beach, for example.
Yeah, I think we could have got away with it on the beach. And today we're on Santa Monica Boardwalk, and we went to the original Muscle Beach, and that was kind of fun because there were people working out there, and they were very approachable, right?
Very, very, very friendly. Wanted us to take their picture.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Bring it on.
Yeah, just bring it on. And, you know, they weren't looking for money or anything. They're just, you know, this is what they do. This is what they do. But even then, it's kind of cool to have the smaller camera. I mean, I just feel more like a street photographer when I have a camera that isn't intimidating. And, you know, do this test. Have someone point a big DSLR with a big lens in your face and see how you feel. You know, even if you know them, it feels weird. You get a vibe from it.
And of course, all of us have smartphones in our pocket, and you could always sling the big camera over your back shoulder and pull out your smartphone and take a picture that way.
Yeah.
That's a good point about the Santee market, that we had our cameras with us, and we got self-conscious, and we kind of tucked our cameras away, but we didn't really pull out our cell phones and start taking photos. And I wonder if we would have been accepted a little bit more based on our cell phones.
I think so. I mean, people have become almost immune to seeing a cell phone come out, you know. I think that's a much different thing. So we're getting ready to do our presentation, right? And this is something that people have asked me about. I really want to come to one of your workshops, but I'm nervous about the presentation. So we have three people here who have been through the presentation at other workshops, one person who hasn't. I think we need to talk about this, you know, before we sign off here. And I think I'm gonna start with Susie on this one.
Right. So this will be my third time doing a Derek presentation workshop test final exam.
They tease me about this.
It's amazing they let me back. Anyway, the first one I was very nervous about it, and then when, and actually I went to that clinic without even taking a laptop because I didn't know that that's what happens, and so I did all my processing on my phone. Great, great learning experience. I was really actually very grateful for it. And the presentation was so amazing because it gave me really good feedback on things, and nobody said, well, that's a stupid picture. Why'd you take it? And the second go-round was the same feeling. I loved seeing how everybody else took pictures. Even in both those workshops, we were all pretty much together in a clump, aiming at the same thing, and we all saw different things. This one we separated a bit, so we did get some different perspective, and that's super fun for me to see, because I learn best by watching, and I learn from what everybody else does.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's a shared experience, right? We've all been through the same thing, but yet our visual representation of what we've been through, it will be very different, all four, you know? Koki, you've been through two of these now also.
Right, yeah. Right. Yes, there's always that nervousness that takes place when you think you're going to be judged, and you wonder what that holds for you. But it really is a very cool environment, a very safe environment, and I think what excites me the most is what Susie said, and Derek too, the visual representation that differs between us as we stand, and maybe even from the same vantage point, and we take a different shot. Susie and I found this this kid working in a skate shop. His parents own it, Ruben, and she took a really unique portraiture shot of him, and I took a completely different perspective of him. And yet we both captured what we wanted to walk away with. So I think that's what's really neat about these workshops, is getting different ideas. I hadn't even thought about the approach that Susie had taken, and I really liked her shot. So it's neat from that regard.
I think it is neat. And you know, we evolve. Sometimes we see what other people do, and then we incorporate that into our arsenal as well. Dave, how about you? You've been on a void.
This is my third, at least.
Yes, at least, yeah.
What's funny is I love wildlife and nature photography. I never thought I'd like this kind of photography, but I probably got my best shots in this workshop. But I'm fundamentally a show-off who likes to go to people and say, hey, look at this. So I'm not nervous about showing off my photos. I love to do that.
And Craig, this is your first presentation.
Well, I'm not nervous because you guys have made me all very calm with saying, don't be scared. I'm just kidding. I've been to other workshops where we have shown our work, and I would just reiterate that it's really fascinating to have a group of people who've been to the exact same areas and the variety and the difference of images. And I think, you know, everybody's drawn to different things, and if it moves you, then that's what you take a picture of.
I think one thing that's true in these is when one person is showing the pictures, the other people aren't there to criticize, they're there to learn.
Yes.
How did you do that? How did you make that cool picture? So we're all here to learn, and we all keep learning all the way through.
That's a huge point. And I will say that even goes to me. Over the years of doing these workshops, watching these shows, I have become a better photographer because of that, because I have learned all sorts of tricks and techniques from you guys. And I don't know how many times I've been there watching a show and going, I never thought to do that. I never thought to do that. And then you're also going, I wish I had. You know, right? I wish I had. And I'm slightly envious of that person or what they did. But then I take that away, and maybe I'll fold that in next time. All right. So the last thing that I want to say before we close off here, that, you know, there's something about how people come together. From the very beginning, they know they have an assignment. From the very beginning, they know they're going to be challenged with these shoots. It's fun. I think almost everyone here played team sports. I miss team sports. And I think for me, this is the closest thing that comes to scratching that itch of, you know, all pulling together and learning from each other. Any closing comments from folks along those lines?
I would agree. I'm definitely into team sports. And this weekend, because of all that's going on with the COVID coronavirus, I think this group, we shrunk in size. There's only four of us and Derek, but we were really tight-knit, and we went through this whole thing together, and I can't speak enough volume about how good these workshops are. You learn so much, whether it's immersion with your camera that maybe has sat on the shelf for a couple weeks or a couple months, or hopefully not a couple of years. you refamiliarize yourself with that, with key elements of photography. You challenge yourself, and the passion rises back up to the surface again and kind of cuts through all that's going on. We talked about coronavirus all weekend, no doubt about it. It's heavy on all of our minds. But we also got a break from it, and I'm really glad I came. I'm really glad that I didn't sit back at home and say, oh, I shouldn't go. I'm glad I came. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would just reiterate that and say, if there was a silver lining to the whole virus situation, was that it was just four of us, or five of us with Derek, and so we were nimble. We were very nimble, and I have a hard time visualizing if we were twice the size that we'd be nearly that way. So I think there was kind of a silver lining to it all.
It would be a different workshop. I mean, we all went in one car. We were always together, you know. We separate a little bit when we shoot, but, you know, we basically ate together, traveled together, worked together.
Washed up together.
Constantly washed up together.
And sanitized together.
It's just like, I'm looking forward to the day where my hands aren't chapped anymore. Dave or Susie?
I agree.
I agree, too. It was a fabulous weekend, and look forward to another one with Derek.
All right. So,
and these new friends.
We all recommend old friends and new friends. With Derek.
We do.
With Fuji here.
With Olympus gear.
And we are both Mac and Windows friendly as well. So that's it from Santa Monica. We are signing off from LA. We're going to go do our presentation, and I hope you enjoyed hearing our thoughts, and see you all next week.
Bye-bye.
So now, as I record this, everyone has departed, and they're either on their way or they have made it home safely, which I'm happy to hear. And I'm here in the cottage up by myself, packing up and getting ready to go visit my mom in Upland. So there's a lot to think about. There's a lot to digest. I hope you found this conversation interesting. It was candid and definitely heartfelt. And a big thanks to the four of them, who not only overcame obstacles to complete this workshop, but also just provided amazing images along the way. I have to tell you, the presentation was spectacular. So I have more to talk about here today, but that's it from here in Santa Monica, and on to our next topic. Portfolio Box 4 offers great enhancements and is available for free to TDS listeners. So we have many, many Portfolio Box photographers in our community, including myself, and I think all of us are going to enjoy the new features in version 4 that just launched today. If you're not currently a pro user, I have great news for you at the end of this spot, but first, here are the highlights for Portfolio Box 4. All right, so let's take a look at some of these enhancements, and there are quite a few of them, and I'm jazzed about all of them, and one of them in particular I'm over the moon for, but here we go. So you can add sections to your pages now. The initial content of the page can be extended with one or several sections. You can add different types of sections: gallery, text links, services, team, submenu, contact form, and even blog or store teaser. So this allows you now to build the page exactly the way that you want. You can also add elements to your section. So each element in a section is independent from the others. And this is very important when you're trying to create a design that specifically fits your needs. So you can add elements below existing elements. You can add a border under your menu or a button below text, you know, that kind of stuff. And you can even reorder the elements that already exist. So this is, again, it's that flexibility that allows you to design the pages exactly the way that you want. Along those lines, you can also edit the margins, padding, and position. So now you can easily fine-tune your website by making those margins the exact width that you want, or the padding between the pictures, or the position of each element on your page. You can also add animations to each element of your website. For instance, you can fade in, zoom, you know, all that kind of stuff. So if you want a little bit more energy, if you don't want just, you know, static buttons and so forth, then animations are available to spice those up a bit. Now, here's the one that I'm particularly excited about, because this is such an important part of my business, is that we now have client proofing galleries. So now, and this is so wonderful. So this allows you to share dedicated and protected photo galleries with your clients. Your client can log in, check the gallery, comment, share their favorites with you. This makes it easy to share and proof directly from your website. And you also have the ability to automatically add a watermark to your photos. So you can take care of all of that, you know, right there in Portfolio Box Pro. And again, this is not only a big time saver, but this is what people expect. This is the professional level of delivering your shoots that customers want. We also have e-commerce improvements, so new features and functions that will make it easier for you to handle your products and orders. So this includes things such as discount codes, flexible shipping rates, you know, that kind of stuff. So now you really have an e-commerce capability all with your Portfolio Box Pro subscription. And finally, you can preview your site before publishing it. And I think this is so important. So now you can build your site offline peacefully, right? Take the time you need to get it exactly the way that you want. And then when you're ready, you can publish the site and choose the domain name. So you can preview all of this work offline. You don't have to worry about it being live and someone going, hey, well, what's going on with that, or that's broken. No, you can get it exactly the way you want, and then you can publish it. So Portfolio Box has published a super helpful 30-minute video, and I have the link to it in the show notes, and you can get the most out of these features by watching this video. Now, here's the great news if you don't have Portfolio Box Pro already. All you have to do is go to the Portfolio Box site, and that's www.portfolioBox.net, PORTFOLIOBOX.net, and then you use a special offer code. I'm going to read it to you now, but don't worry about having to write it down, because it's also in the show notes. All of this information is in the show notes. So you can just go over to thedigitalstory.com, read the show notes, and get this offer code. But I'll give it to you now just in case you have a photographic memory. And that is 15, these are all uppercase, by the way, 15SAMDPTBL81M5. You see, that's why it's important that we have it in the show notes, so you can go there and get it. But it's 15SAMDPTBL81M5. Use that offer code and you get a 100% discount for the first year of Portfolio Box Pro. That is amazing. They handle domain name, they handle, you know, all the heavy lifting for you. It's a secure site, so it's HTTPS. I mean, this is top drawer stuff, okay? So now, next week, I'll dig deeper into some of these new and exciting features. But until then, I recommend you sign up today so you can follow along with me. And a big thanks to Portfolio Box for co-sponsoring this show. Right, we have a little virtual camera club business to take care of. First of all, a big thanks to our Inner Circle members. And in fact, we have some new Inner Circle members, and I thank you so much for supporting this show. In this crazy year, it's more important than ever that we have our Patreon members, our Inner Circle members, helping us keep this show coming week after week. In addition to all the other support that our members provide for us, this one is one of the foundation pieces. Thank you so much, our Inner Circle members. And I want to mention that we have tiles for both B&H and Amazon on every page of the digital story. If you click on one of those tiles first and then do your shopping, that helps support the show And thank you so much for doing that. Those are affiliate links, and those affiliate links, you know, credit us for your purchase. It doesn't cost you anything more, but it does help support this website. And finally, a huge thanks to our friends at Red River Paper, the longest running sponsor of The Digital Story. We talked a lot about printing over the course of this workshop, and it's really nice. Dave was showing us one of his photographs from an earlier workshop, actually from the Bodega Bay workshop, one of his favorite shots that he's taken over the years, and talked about how that when he made a print of it and put it on the wall, that now he gets to enjoy that image every day, and how wonderful that makes him feel, and how wonderful it is for other people who get to see it as well. And this is the kind of thing that printing our good images does for us. It allows us, not only for us to enjoy it on a daily basis, but for others as well. You can find out more about anything you need to know with inkjet printing by clicking on the tile that's on all the pages of The Digital Story, the Red River paper tile. And that will take you over to our landing page there. And there you can find out about the different types of paper, the different projects you can do, tutorials, reviews. You can buy ink there, envelopes, glassine sleeves. It is really one-stop shopping for your printing needs. And they also have a wonderful Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. And a big thanks to them for sponsoring this show. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. What a week it has been, and it's going to continue to be very interesting, as we all know. Come back and join me next week. I've got more great stuff to talk about. Until then, have a great week. Take care of yourself. Be safe. Bye-bye now.